Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone. Thank God for Sunday night service. Did you know we actually have Wednesday night service too? Yep. Glory to God. You know, there's something about the song service that sets the tone for the preaching. It's important. And every song that's sung is inspired by somebody to write it. And a lot of the words are just very inspirational. But there's something about when we sing the words of Scripture. When we sang that song, Shema Israel, it takes me back to 43 years ago in 1980, standing on the street in the old town of Jerusalem. And there were about 10 of us there, and the missionary, Brother Wooten, said, I want to teach you a song. And he taught us that song. And we sang it in the middle of Jerusalem. And of course, the Jews believe Deuteronomy 6 and 4. And we brought it back to America. And there's something about singing the oneness of God that is just so heartfelt. And I'm so grateful that we have that opportunity. Amen. I don't want to keep you standing long. If you turn to Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 36. Matthew 26 and 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Remember standing in that little garden between the East Gate and the Mount of Olives, and there were huge olive trees. I mean, just probably 6 feet in diameter. And there is no question, those are the same trees that Jesus prayed under. Sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Very difficult time for our Lord. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? In his darkest moments, at the pinnacle of the reason he came, knowing what he was going to go through, he was all alone. And then Mark, the 15th chapter. Verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, Lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, we ask your blessing on the word, blessing on the offering and the tithes. Keep your hand on your people, God. Protect us, prosper us, never leave us alone, God. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see the Hassels in the service tonight. They were here for a funeral, and they're going to go back to hot Florida on Friday. Amen. But yesterday, we had an opportunity to have lunch with them and catch up on some things. And so involved with the conversation, they asked, well, what are you preaching on tomorrow night? And I said, alone with God. And I thought Brother Hassel was going to fall off his chair. And he explained to me that God has been dealing with him for months to get alone with God. And so he had just made reservations in a cabin out remote, and he's going to go spend 3 days alone with God. It's important to get alone with God. Here the flesh of God cries out to the Spirit, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" The word lama is the Hebrew word for why, and the word sabbathian means forsaken, or thou hast left me alone. Why? Ever feel like that? There are so many times when we're surrounded by the power and the presence of God, and it's such a wonderful reassurance that God is with us. But then there's a time when God simply takes his hands off of us for a while and we're by ourselves. And maybe sometimes doesn't even allow anybody else to minister to us. I have a great-grandson that hands-on. Everybody wants to touch him and hold him. But there will come a time where the hands come off and you're going to have to walk by yourself. And that's the same way with each and every one of us. Left alone in the garden by his disciples, left alone on the cross by the Spirit of God. The first time the word alone is found in the Bible is found in Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." It's also not good that God would be alone. See, he wants us to gather together. He doesn't want to be alone. He wants somebody to be talking to him on a regular basis. And that's why we gather together in services such as this. The word alone here in the Hebrew means separated from part of the body. And that's why within us, we desire to be a part of the body of Christ. There's something within us that says there's nothing else that'll satisfy except being a part of a church or the body of church. To be alone is discomfort, a feeling of being detached from that which is vital. Yet being alone gives us a dependence on God that nothing else can. So sometimes God ordains that we feel this all alone so we can depend on him. Maybe some friends have walked away, but God will never walk away. So everyone will have this experience at times in our lives that we may draw closer to Christ and experience a dependency upon him because of being all alone. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis, if you would. Chapter 28. Verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land where thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." This is a runway to salvation. This is where we get saved. This is where we Keep saved. Stay saved, you see. So here Jacob was separated from his family and felt that he was all alone. He had to leave his family, everyone that he had known, and go to a strange place. But in the middle of the night, he dreamt about a ladder set up on earth, reaching to heaven, angels ascending and descending from the ladder. And the Lord stood above the ladder and told him how he would bless him and his seed. Then in verse number 15, God said, "Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee." I'm not leaving you. I know exactly how you feel right now. I know how you feel like you don't have a home, you don't have a people, you are all by yourself. But rest assured, I'm going to be with you. And when you get to that place, if you haven't already, rest assured that God is always going to be with you. You have his word on it. Jacob says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Is there anyone here that has not felt that way at one time or another? I know I have over the years. Yet angels are ministering to us, and the Spirit of God is always within us, so we're not alone. So he was forced to leave his home and live with his uncle Laban, and there he was deceived by his uncle and married Leah instead of Rachel. Laban changed his wages 10 times, and after about 20 years, Jacob remembered what the Lord had said, and now he was ready to do what God said he would do and what he had promised. Sometimes, you know, God takes his time before we see what God is going to do in our life. The best thing to do is spend some time alone with God, and he'll let you know what the future is going to be like. And even though it doesn't happen immediately, you have a reassurance that nothing is going to happen to you until God completes what he has started. Jacob had supernatural encounter at Bethel, the house of God, yet for the most part, he was not changed. He still was working out his own problems. You can come into this place, feel the Shekinah glory of God. You can have an experience with God, but that experience has to change you somehow. Not totally dependent upon God at that point. The shadow and type is people can have a supernatural encounter with God in God's house and still not be changed by the experience. Still relying on their own strength, dealing with dishonest people in the world, threats from the enemy. Jacob visited the house of God, but he still hadn't seen the face of God. Glory to God. Amen. It isn't just another experience. It's a lifestyle. See? And that's the mistake that people make. I came, I felt, I had the experience, and now I go on to something else without making a complete commitment to God. And there will be those who will be lost because they didn't make that commitment. They didn't stay with God through thick and thin. You know the story, Jacob decides to go home and claim his birthright, and when you do that, the enemy isn't far behind. When you make a claim, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get up early in the morning, I'm going to read more, I'm going to do more, I'm going to teach more, well, there's some challenges. So he sends his family ahead and decides to get alone with God. I'm going to rent a place down by the river. So go to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. God prevailed not against Jacob because he was so adamant about getting a blessing. So he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except you bless me." Somebody here might want to say the same thing tonight. Get to the altar. I've got a situation that has to be taken care of. My family is in great need. I'm worried about what's going to happen. But God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, which is deceiver, but Israel, which meant power with God. For as a prince has the power with God and with men, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He wrestled with the theophany of God. You ever wrestle with God? In the middle of the night, a decision you're trying to make? This is a problem of epic proportion. People want God's power, but he wants interaction with them first. Do it? Yeah, but how bad do you want it? After Jacob had wrestled with God face to face, he was forever changed. He was never the same again. You know, if you have had a face-to-face encounter with God, we'll all walk with a limp. There will always be something different about us that we never had before, but there is where we receive the power of God. Amen. Our name's changed. If you'll turn to Matthew. The 14th chapter. In verse 22. Matthew 14 and 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. There's a saying, either get apart to pray or get apart. Fall apart. Jesus sent the multitude away. The Bible says he was there alone. How many times within the scripture has he said, excuse me, I'm going to be alone, you see? It was an example for each of us. Many people perceive a ministry as preaching or teaching to great numbers of people, and that's admirable, or evangelist or pastor of a growing church, but Jesus ministered more on a one-to-one basis than to the multitude. He touched people individually, which was his reason for coming, and his greatest ministry was when he was all alone on the cross. Nobody was cheering. Nobody was clapping their hands. He had to do it all by himself. If people don't have a burden for individual souls, they can never have a ministry to the multitude, you see. Oh, I want to minister to many people within the church, but first you have to understand you have a ministry of one-on-one with somebody else. Give them the information first. If you go to John, the 8th chapter, and verse 29, Jesus says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. The Father, or the Spirit, has not left me alone. Then John, the 16th chapter, and verse 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. There was a time where everybody scattered. There are some friends that aren't your friends anymore. There are some family that won't even talk to you anymore. The Bible tells us in Matthew the 10th chapter that the greatest enemies will be of your own household, you see. And that's the tool of the enemy, because he wants to separate you from God, and the best way to do that is have an argument with your family. Disruption with the family. Not many people like to be alone, especially when there's trouble or problems in life. I don't know if anybody remembers Darlene Bears. Anybody remember her? She ran a party shop in Racine where it sold decorations and things of that nature. And a lot of people went in to buy decorations for special events that we had here at the church. And through that, she got saved. I remember spending lots of time home Bible studies and ministering to her. And she had a blood disease that was very critical. And she became very sick. Shortly after her passing, I received a note from her husband. And I'm going to read it to you. I kept it. You know, I get notes and cards from a lot of people. I have them all. I have stacks of them at my house. Here's what he said. And he wasn't saved, but his wife was. It was the saddest moment of my life, and I was alone. Sister and mother were on their way, but I was alone. My wife was dying before my eyes, and I was alone. Suddenly, you and your wife were there. Your words gave me strength. Your actions set me at peace. I will never forget the concern and the generosity and the warmth and the wisdom you and your wife offered my sister and I when we visited your home. Your kind words at Darlene's service helped me define the special qualities she brought to this world and shared with so many. A time when he was so alone, he needed somebody to be there. There are people in hospitals right now that are all alone. Maybe they're so old that a lot of their family aren't around anymore, but they need somebody to minister to them, because one of the worst pains there is just to be alone. When I was just getting out of school, I had a real challenge in my life, as most young men did at that time. I had to decide whether I was going to enlist in the Army or be drafted. We were right in the middle of the Vietnam War, and it was very life-threatening. Back then, they had a program that you could enlist with a friend. And you were guaranteed not to be separated through boot camp and AIT, and even if you went to war. Do you know why? Because nobody wants to fight their battles alone. That's why we have a church here. Because I don't care who you are, there's going to be a battle, and nobody wants to fight that battle by themselves. Everyone wants to see revival within the church, but revival doesn't come just by one individual. Get a great evangelist who will gather great crowds, multitudes filled with the Holy Ghost, everybody shouting and praising, but that doesn't happen unless people are alone with some sinner in a Bible or a Bible chart, alone with somebody who's going through some difficult time. Someone who doesn't know what to do or where to turn, doesn't know the comfort of God. Nobody shouting, nobody praising, but just you on the front line, all alone, maybe ministering to someone in the hospital, all alone. You know, the congregation really responds to preaching of the word in a congregation. It's a wonderful thing when they say amen, hallelujah, and preach it, big guy. But when they're silent, I know something's happening. Something deeper is going on. But the time I know the most effective is when you're alone and God speaks to you. It isn't from a pulpit. It isn't from a song. But it's a still, quiet voice, and God talks to you, and you know it's God. It's when it's quiet. That's what God said to Elijah. It's not in the wind. It's not in the rocks falling. It's in the still, quiet voice. More often, even after preaching to a full church, I feel somewhat alone. Some of you have been abandoned by friends and family. You know what it's like, and God allows that so we can understand what he went through at Calvary alone. When so many people walked away from him and he didn't understand, standing for what is right many times leaves us all alone. But God promised over and over in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. They may look, they may go, they may disappoint you, but I'll never leave you. I've had people say, Pastor, I'll never leave this church. But I don't know where they are. Because Jesus knows what it's like to be alone. And when we find ourselves all alone, when the world doesn't understand us or even care what's going on in our life, that is when we enlist the power and the presence of Almighty God, like Jacob. I'm here, God, all by myself, with a rock for a pillow and not knowing where I'm going to go. As the message said tonight, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear or what job you're going to have. Will you trust me? Because there are angels who are going to minister you. They're coming down and up and down from heaven to minister. They're ministering spirits, according to Hebrews, the first chapter. It's when you go into the lion's den by yourself, all alone. You see, we want somebody. You know, there are gangs in this world because nobody wants to take on a problem by themselves, you see. We want somebody else to be there with us. But sometimes that's God's program. When trouble comes and no one is around and you are willing to fight the battle all by yourself, I don't care if anybody else wants to take a stand in this area, I'm not changing. I will not acquiesce. I'm going to stay with what I have been taught. Saul failed God because he had to have a crowd around him. See, the people said, and I don't want to offend the people, he couldn't handle it all by himself. You see, a lie needs a crowd, but truth can stand by itself. And he even spared King Agag so he could be a part of his crowd. Can you imagine? Why is it that we are so concerned about being alone at work or a family or even among church people? When God's saying, you don't have to have a crowd. All you need is me. That's all you need. Why don't you get alone like I did? Why don't you separate yourself? Why don't you spend some time with me? I know of great men like Brother Bill Sisko that on a regular basis, he had a time where he just locked himself in a hotel room for 2 or 3 days and he was just going to get a hold of God to see what God would tell him. God knows how we feel. Glory to God. Nobody's shouting tonight, and that's good. It's not good for God to be alone. Isn't it amazing that we build these enormous auditoriums and stadiums that 50, 60, 80,000 people gathered together, and we feel so comfortable with so many people around. We don't want to be by ourselves. When Samuel went to Jesse's house to anoint a king, the seven sons of Jesse passed before Samuel, and Samuel said, "Are these all of your children?" And Jesse said, "No, the youngest is out there in the field, but he's kind of a loner." That's the guy I want. He doesn't care about his brothers and what they do, you know? David was all alone when he killed the lion. He was all alone when he killed the bear. He didn't call the army. He didn't call a posse. He didn't call 911. He did it by himself. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse number 2, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, or 9 foot 8 inches. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had graves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the army of Israel and said unto them, "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servant. But if he prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." Glory to God. There's an army, but they don't move. But there's one man alone. Just one man. Why? Because he's experienced the power of God. One man, one woman, one person can win an entire battle if we believe God can help us. Just one man alone. They say the lion that David killed and the bear were both over 9 foot tall. You can't hide behind the church. Sometimes we just have to do battle by ourselves. Amen. And God allows that to happen so we're stronger. And we're not weakened. Gideon was all by himself behind a mill. When the angel of the Lord said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor," in Judges 6 and 12. No, you don't understand, God. I'm a coward. I'm hiding. But all God needed was one man who would trust in him. Before this congregation is what God intends it to be, there will be many individual battles all alone. That's what makes a congregation. You fought a battle and you won. And that's why you're here tonight. There isn't anyone here that hasn't gone through some kind of battle and won the battle. You got the victory, and now you become a part of God's army. Amen. Moses, you are to go to Mount Sinai alone, not the rest of the congregation. Joshua, well, he can stay down at the foot of the mountain, but I want to see you alone. And while he was alone with God, he was endued with power to the point where people couldn't even look at him because his face shone with the glory of God. He saw God like nobody else because he spent 40 days with God alone. If you'll turn to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, starting in verse number 1. And Ahab's the king. And Ahab told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done. Of course, he won the great challenge that called down fire from heaven. And with all how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword, and Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the God do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Had so much victory, so much power, so much strength, but one person caused him to be afraid. And when he had saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, and which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left alone, and they seek my life to take it away. I'm all by myself. He went to Mount Carmel alone against 700 prophets of Baal and got the victory. But there was a woman. One threat. Isn't it amazing that you can go your whole life in the church, all kinds of threats, and then one day the doctor says, I think it might be cancer. And you run for a cave because you're afraid. That's the time to get alone with God. It's not the time to call a prayer meeting. It is good to have a prayer meeting. But you know what? It's better that you take this challenge on by yourself. You have to speak with Ahab alone. The ravens will come to feed you when you are alone. Yet God told Elijah, when he had wished to die because he was so afraid, when you think you're alone, but yet I have 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed unto Baal. When you think you're alone, I mean, you got to consider the literally millions of apostolics within this world, the fastest growing church on the face of the earth. Everyone's getting the Holy Ghost on a daily basis today. God is pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. We are going to get the victory. And when you think about the scrimmages that we go through, hallelujah, Jesus does become the one who takes us through all of that loneliness, because he remembers what it was like to be alone when everybody walked away. Proverbs 18 and 24 says this, if our musicians would come, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that's our God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Maybe he schedules a wrestling match. Maybe he schedules a time where you feel like, what in the world is happening in my life? I just don't understand it. But he's saying, I understand. I believe tonight the Holy Ghost will come to those of you who feel all by yourself, alone. Like the ravens came and fed Elijah when he was all alone with a point of his life where he wished to die, God saying, no, I'll come to your rescue. I'll take care of the problem. Hallelujah. There's so many good times that I've had with God, so many mountaintops that I've had with God, and so have you. Song services that were paralyzing, things that happened in your life that truly were absolutely miraculous. But I didn't grow during that time. I grew when I had some insurmountable problems, when there were situations in my life that I had no idea what to do, and then I had to bury my face in the carpet and say, God, you know the answer to this thing. I feel like I'm all alone, but I know you're there, and you're going to take care of me. I just want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone. Would you stand with me? I feel somehow it's almost a prerequisite . I know that feeling of having God's arms around you like that little baby is such a wonderful feeling. And I remember that first year, it was such a honeymoon. I've said this before, I'd bring two handkerchiefs to church because one wasn't enough. I'd be weeping and trembling and think, why don't we have church every day, you know? And then, all of a sudden, I didn't feel the presence of God like I used to. And I was thinking, is there something wrong with me? Or is it God just saying, hands off, you got to grow a little bit. You got to take on some of these battles by yourself. Oh, if the pastor was only here, he could. No, why don't you get into the book and find an answer? Why don't you stand up to your relatives and your friends? Because that's what makes you stronger, because there's going to come a time when you have a need and the church isn't going to be there. But I'll be there. The altar's open. Would you come?